Wirecat Radio, 87.9 FM. I am here joined in the studio with a guest tonight, Rak Razan. Did I pronounce that correctly?
Yep, pretty much.
Pretty much. Rak is an experiential journalist from Australia who in 2006 traveled to Quitos in Peru for ayahuasca conference. Is that right? Do I have that?
Yeah, that's true. Ayahuasca conference, yeah. It was the second Amazonian shaman conference. There's been five so far.
Excellent. So he documented his trip and the time in Peru in a book that's recently been released called Aya, a Shamanistic Odyssey. It's a tales of living amongst Iquitos and the shaman culture that exists there and the Westerners that live there too. A lot of details about what's the city, some awesome color about the scene that's going on there, and some really amazing stories of trips to the jungle and trips in the jungle. So thank you very much for joining us here tonight.
Thank you. Yeah, I like to call it an experiential travel memoir, a cosmological travel memoir, because it really blends in personal trip reports with ayahuasca, which is an ancient vegetal medicine that's used in South America still to this day. But as an experiential journalist, I was reporting for Australian Penthouse at the time, so it was really, objective sort of view of what's going on there as a culture. And what I found was that there's this booming business. I like to call it the gringo trail of the soul, with backpackers and people, you know, who aren't young, all ages, people undergoing their spiritual sea change, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. There's a really wide swathe of people who are all going to South America at the moment to partake of the legal hallucinogenic medicine ayahuasca.
It was an amazing the opening of the book, where you're in the lounge of the airport and you're looking around at the people that are obviously they're coming to the conference, and it's a pretty interesting and unremarkable cross-section of people, it sounds
like. That's what I say. It's like a secret society of plant worshippers all united by the common element of the vine of souls. And, you know, ayahuasca's been known in the West for over 150 years, but it perhaps only entered public consciousness in the 1950s, but with William Burroughs, when he travelled down there, it's recounted in his letters home, the Yahe letters to Allen Ginsberg. But in the 50 years since that really first breached mainstream consciousness, this clever little plant ayahuasca is now available on eBay in the UK. There's hundreds of chat rooms and forums and websites. There's religions which have just won in America in March this year the legal right, second only to the Native American Indians with peyote, to practice their religion, you know, as white people with the ayahuasca religion. And of course, there's this booming business of ayahuasca, which is global now, absolutely global.
Well, it's interesting because you say, I forget what you just called it, the Western Trail of Souls?
The Gringo Trail of Souls.
But it seems also to have turned the economy in Quitos on its head, too.
It's totally upset the apple cart. This is one of the interesting sociological things, is that, you know, 20 years ago, the hereditary path of shamanism was something which takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of sort of abstinence from some of the worldly things in your diet, in you know, no sexual relations while you're training, no sugar, salt, pork, alcohol, red meat, because the shaman believes they have to energetically be sensitized enough to their energy fields to be able to listen to the plants and to hear the plants. So the youth culture really wasn't interested in this, you know, 20 years ago, until it started becoming big business and all the Westerners started flocking to South America.
I mean, I think there's a number you use in the book about what a weekly wage in the city is versus what a weekly charge in a lodge in the jungle is.
Definitely. Like, the average wage is, you know, somewhere a couple of soles a day, which is just a pittance, is a few dollars or less American. And the average ayahuasca session is $100 American these days. And in the 3 years, I've been back there last year to launch the book at the 5th Amazonian Shaman Conference, and sort of to go full circle for where it began 3 years ago. And in the 3 years since, the tourism and the business of spiritual reality has just boomed. I think in a way, and there's some of the curanderos, or the shamans as we call them, in the book say this as well, there's an offset, there's a trade-off between Westerners coming to learn about this hallucinogenic property and also the spirituality attached to it, and the, you know, indigenous cultures absorbing of the money. There's an energy exchange in that, which sort of fits larger patterns, but it's such an interesting dynamic to see, you know, pretty much the only culture in the world where you can actually partake of a hallucinogenic, like a visionary state, legally in a supportive environment in that culture.
What is that process like? I mean, you describe in the book what it looks like and the process, and you talk about the purge and physically what it does to you mentally and spiritually. Can you kind of explain to people what that progression
sure.
is like?
It's very different every time. Ayahuasca has been used, you know, for millennia by the native peoples all across South America, and they call it the medicine. It's not a drug. It's not recreational. It has harmine and harmaline in it, which are purgatives, but they also open up the synapses. They really flush the system clean physically and mentally and spiritually. So when your synapse pathways are open, then the other things can come in and it's all refreshed. So the mix of the ayahuasca brew is a vine called Banisteriopsis caffi, which is the ayahuasca vine itself. And it takes about 7 years, so you've got to grow enough quantities and things like that. But when mixed with cross combination of plants in the brew, like chacruna containing DMT, which is the visionary thing, you can have a completely spiritual experience that takes you to another realm. You can go to multiple levels of being, whether they're, you know, the shamans say they traverse the worlds with it, but on behalf of their patients to do healing. And the medicine itself is very healing, and you can also have it many, many times and not trip at all. You know, it reads you energetically, and I like to think that I described it in the book as like defragging a computer. It relinks up all your brain states. There's only been one major study done in the 1990s, and Dennis McKenna, the brother of late Terence McKenna, was involved in that, the Hawaska Project, and they studied the Churchi Nao de Vegetal and in controlled settings in the jungle, and they discovered that it actually flushed clean the receptor sites of the brain, ayahuasca did, and actually, you know, it made them better. It was a medicine, pharmacological goldmine.
I mean, is this what you find is motivating Westerners to go there? People who have psychic or psychological, injuries that they need to heal. If they go there seeking this actual healing.
Yeah, that's definitely a component. I was staying at an ayahuasca lodge because there's many, many tourist lodges, and a lot of them are catering to the tourist dollar, to more the thrill seekers and the spiritual seekers. But I was staying at a tourist lodge just last month called the Temple of the Way of Light, and they're very much focused on healing. Those six female curanderas, the mice. They're Shipibo women. They're all about 5'2" in their native gear, and they sing their high-pitched ikaros, their healing songs. But their whole orientation is around healing. And a lot of the curanderos say that people in the West are actually sick, but they don't even know it. You know, you might not have a physical ailment, but it's our consciousness. It's the fact that we're not in this sort of groove with the planet and understanding our place in the natural order. So they can see that we are sick in that sense. But there's also a lot of people on a spiritual path. They might not be physically sick, but they want a connection to something deeper than themselves. And ayahuasca can really connect you to the web of life. It really sort of takes away those negative spaces so you can feel totally complete, really, in a spiritual sense.
So what are people bringing back from these experiences then into modern Western culture? I mean, what do you see as a potential transformative quality of that returning to this?
I think one of the things I talk about in the book is that because there's this stream of Westerners, what it's doing, there's this cultural wave building, and it's like a global shamanic resurgence. Like, it's not, the shamanic connection hasn't faded in indigenous cultures because they're close to the earth, but here in Western culture, you know, in urban environments, we've been distanced from Mother Earth, so we're reclaiming this knowledge of connection to the earth itself, and then through that, we're healing. And then once we're healed, we can be whole people, like spiritual warriors, if you will. It's like we can be people that can make the right decisions and not have cultures, societies that are out of balance, like Konosquatsi, that are, you know, not in tune with how things are, or be ill. You know, our society could very much be viewed as a sick society.
Well, you're here in the U.S. Launching the book, and you've done, it sounds like, a couple events where you kind of combined readings from the book with music and presentations, musical presentations, visuals. I want to actually introduce Lulu now. I don't know if you have access to the microphone enough to...
Let me just preface sure. Lulu. Yeah, we've done the book's called Aya, A Shamanic Odyssey, and the website's ayathebook.com. It's also available on Amazon. And we've done a launch just last Tuesday at Seraphi in San Francisco, which is our first performance launch. It was like over 2 hours of like readings from the book accompanied by VJ Verb, who did some amazing visual sort of mixing, incorporating a lot of the photos from the trip with really sort of psychedelic sort of ambient visuals, and DJ Buttons, who did an amazing job really blending in some sacred songs from Ikaros, which are the very, very sacred songs of the shamans that they used to heal, and to hear the vibrational medicine, the power in them, is something very special, and to hear it in sort of a Western blend of an electronic track is something even more special. So thank you, DJ Buttons.
Awesome. And we're going to get a sample of this, right? So as we come out, I want to also say you guys go to Burning Man, right? And you're going to be presenting some of this information and this experience at Burning Man as well, right?
Yep, we're doing a talk in conjunction. Well, I'm doing a talk in conjunction with MAPS at Entheon Village on Saturday about 4 or 4:30. My co-partner in Undergrowth Inc. Publishing, which is a separate venture, and I have done a book, an anthology called The Journey Book. It's available at thejourneybook.com, and he and I are both talking on the MAPS panel, on the Journey Book panel at MAPS Nexus Village on the Thursday, and again with MAPS on Friday, and again at Entheon on Saturday as well. So it's all psychedelic. It's the world's best psychedelic anthology.
Excellent. So if you're heading out to the Playa, definitely we can check you out throughout the course of next week. And then back to Australia for you. Will we see you coming through this way again?
I will be back. Yeah, I'm going straight back after the burn. But both Tim and DJ Buttons are continuing the tour for the Journey Book, probably onto Oregon and Ashland and a few other psychedelic nodal points to turn on consciousness.
Excellent. So the website again was?
AYA, thebook.com.
And so we people out there who are listening to this and maybe looking for a place to catch up with the book tour can find that information there.
Yeah,
as well.
We've got an events page there, yeah.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for coming by and telling us about your experience and sharing the AYA.
Thank you so much. Yep, it's been a pleasure.
Very good. And then we're going to hear in a bit some of the sounds of AYA as well. So off Higher Cat Radio, 7.9 FM.
Okay. Thank you.